Mark, it is that time of year again.
That time when many of us put up holiday lights and most of us eat too many cookies and other sweets.
That is right. And for me, it's of course when I watch way too many holiday movies.
I hope that Elf is at the top of your list. It is
already,
certainly at the top of mine.
Already watched
good.
It. Yep,
good,
yep.
Good.
I'm a staunch White Christmas fan as well. That's probably my favorite. And really, there are so many choices from classics to the comedies to the new slate of holiday movies on Lifetime every year. And that is where our next guest comes in. Peter Marietta is an Emmy-winning producer and writer, as well as director in residence at the Sidney Poitier New American Film School at Arizona State University. He's been behind series like the Disney Channel's Wizards of Waverly Place, which starred a young Selena Gomez. And last year, he dove into the holiday genre and co-wrote Feliz Navidad, starring Mario Lopez, of course, of Saved by the Bell fame.
All right, so here's the deal. This is the masa. These are the fillings, and these are the husks. And it's like a little assembly line, and we each do a part.
Awesome. Well, I love food, so I will do the masa.
Are you sure?
Kind of the hardest part. Oh, well, now I kind of have to do it because I love a challenge.
You'll be fine.
Okay, just make sure you spread the masa on the smooth side of the husk, not the rough side.
Smooth side, not the rough side.
Let's feel it right there.
Okay, smooth side, not the rough side. Got it.
And Marietta told me it was Lopez who started it all.
He called me up and he said he had this idea, and he had the title. All props to him. Feliz Navidad. And I was very busy. I was working on a show at the time, and he asked me if I wanted to do this, and I'd never done one.
Huh.
Never done a movie like that before. And I said, sure, but can I bring in a co-writer? And so it's the first thing that I've co-written with my wife, Lisa, who is a writer herself. So my desire was because Mario said to me that, you know, Lifetime had never done a Latinx-themed Christmas movie. Now, he'd been in several, but he just played a character. It wasn't a movie about, you know, our culture, our people. And that's really been my mission for like 22 years to make stories to show us and represent us. And so he kind of hooked me in that way. And Elise and I wrote that movie and it was a blast. And we came up with a story and, you know, all about a dad getting back into dating after his wife has passed and his daughter sort of pushing him to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot in this about, you know, specific sort of Latino, Latinx kind of Christmas traditions, right?
Yeah.
Like they're making tamales in the scenes.
Yes.
Like, how has that never been in a Christmas movie before?
Well, I don't know. I want to be like a real magnanimous person and say, I'm sure somebody else has done that.
I don't know.
And I know that a Lifetime they hadn't. And so we got to do that. We got to break the seal on that. And, you know, one of the anecdotes that came out of that production was a year ago and it's rerunning right now, was, you know, Lifetime told us at one point, you know, all our movies end on Christmas morning. And Mario and I kind of laughed at each other when they told us that, because we're like, it's all over Christmas Eve.
Yep.
Gotta tell you, like, that's the end of that. And so we got to end that movie on Christmas Eve night. So we broke that tradition. and they were great partners to let us do that. So they really wanted it and we really gave it to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that must have felt really good. And as you said, this is sort of part of your mission in the film world and in the TV world, right? Is to sort of tell these stories. Let's talk about this specifically in the, you know, holiday Christmas movie context, because those are so, you know, they're like traditions, they're nostalgic, they say so much about our culture and where we are at the moment that they're made. Is this something that bothered you, like, as a kid growing up, that holiday movies were pretty much all white?
I don't know that I noticed.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, it's interesting when you say that, because my holiday movies, you know, growing up were like watching the Charlie Brown special and watching the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the Santa Claus Come to Town, those claymation ones.
Yeah.
And then just in terms of the holiday movies themselves, you know, I guess I dim memories of watching the rerun of It's a Wonderful Life. And so you have all these things in your house and you don't really think about them when you're really little. You don't really think about the representation of it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that one of the problems are sort of like, you know, things that happen to you because you don't think about it is you start to imprint things yourself, right? And I think that's where the beginning of wanting to tell these stories, because you go like, oh, Peanuts, I don't know who I'm identifying with there.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you start to look at what's going on. And I know that at some point, you know, you kind of gravitate towards Snoopy and you think he's kind of a cool vato and he knows what's up. And like, you know, then you get older and you go to like lowrider shows with your TOs and you start to see like Snoopy on bumper stickers and stuff like that. And you're like, yeah, like that's our secret. And so that happens. And so I do think then when you get to the age of reason is when you go like, why did I have to do that?
Yeah.
Why do I have to do that? And why can't I just make stuff that will show us?
It seems like, you know, we should have gotten farther than this in terms of diversity.
Oh my gosh,
representation.
Yes. Like, are you kidding? Like, it's funny. I have other colleagues that I love to death, but they often will, you know, get on social media and talk about like, I'm the first to, and I'm like, I'm embarrassed for everyone when it's like, yeah, I'm the first. Like, well, I'm embarrassed, man. That should have happened 10 years ago.
Why hasn't it?
15 years ago, 20 years ago. Why hasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we have enough time to talk about the institutional racism of Hollywood. And like my quick 30 seconds of it are, if anyone wants to look it up, Chris Rock did an interview many years ago when he was doing some promotion for a movie and someone asked him like, is Hollywood racist? And he was like, well, I don't know. I got picked up at LAX and I went to get In-N-Out Burger and the people there that were working were Mexican-American, and then the guy driving me was Mexican-American, and you know, when I got to the hotel, the people there working and the people around me, and then when I pulled on the lot, there were no Mexican-Americans. And he was like, and I'm not talking about stars or writers, I'm talking about the people that work on that lot. So like when you ask that question, I think there's a lot of gatekeeping and there's been a lot of, you know, historic like just not access. It's changing, it's awesome. Bits and bits by day by day, you know, but that's why.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think is the sort of broader state of portrayals of people of color in Hollywood right now? As you say, it's changing. Like, what are some of the things that give you a little bit of hope?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, to turn around and see, like, the amount of different kinds of stories that are getting told about people of color, to see the many expressions of the horror genre through the Black experience, to see comedies through the Black and the Latinx experiences, to see explosion of Asian American experience in terms of feature films and television shows. You know, I think it's great. I think we are at a place now, I don't know if we're at a tipping point yet, but we're getting close to being at a place where people get to tell their stories.
All right. That is Peter Marietta, director in residence at the Sidney Poitier New American Film School and a professor of practice at Arizona State University. Peter, thank you so much for coming on, for telling us about this, and we can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank you.
That'll do it for this Monday edition of the show. For Lauren Gilger, I'm Mark Brody. Thank you so much for listening. See you back here tomorrow.